All right, guys. All right, we are live, and I say that in air quotes because we are actually premiering this right now because my internet is lousy out here in the middle of nowhere. But, you know, I'm going to get that worked out, and I absolutely love living out here. Today I saw 12 deer, or I'm sorry, not 12, 18 deer in our backyard, so you know you live in the middle of nowhere when you see 18 deer in your backyard, and so that's why, unfortunately, this is going to be premiered, but you know what, I'm going to get this figured out. I'm going to try to, I know there's a device that you can hook up two internet streams together and like boost it to one, so I'm going to try doing that. If that doesn't work, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do from there. But the internet company will only, like, go to the outside of your house now because of this whole COVID crap. So they don't even really help you anymore as well. So anyways, today we're going to be talking with Lisa Plumbo. This is Health Matters. So this is our first Health Matters show. I'm really excited to do more of these live streams. We've been talking about them for a while now, but then a bunch of stuff happened in our personal lives. And then, you know, this move kind of postponed all that. But I'm getting settled into the new place, and we're going to get this show back on the road here. So, again, guys, we have Lisa Plumbo in the house, in the hot seat, and we're going to be talking about face masks required for entry. Everyone sees those signs posted at all the restaurants and stores when you walk in, face masks required, and it's super annoying. Whether or not you want to wear a mask, that's up to you, in my opinion, but it's just really annoying that they're mandating these masks everywhere. So we're going to be talking about face masks today. Lisa, thank you so much for joining us today. It's always a pleasure talking with you and your husband. You guys definitely helped us out with the move quite a bit. And so I appreciate that. Only good friends help other people move. So I appreciate that.
You're welcome. I'm so happy for you guys. The place looks awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really excited too. It's definitely a new phase in our life here. But I think it's definitely a positive transition for us. We have a great church about 8 minutes from our house. Now, the nearest town is 30 minutes from our house, but or 22 minutes. But we have a church that it's about 200 people. I haven't been there yet, so I probably shouldn't be praising it too much. But Matt Powell actually goes to that church. He said it's a great church, so I'm just taking his word on it. And it's working out. And just by chance that we happen to move, you know, 8 minutes away from this church. But Lisa, you know, tell us a little bit about your feelings on the mask. I know a lot of people know your feelings, but it just really bothers me. And I just wanted to hear your opinion.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it is a giant overreach. You can't, you know, it's not a one size fits all policy to mask healthy people because it's not a benign medical intervention. When you look at the consequences to wearing a mask, you can't deny physics. You know, the idea that the data is mixed. If you try to find out, is this just something that we have to worry about droplets or do we have to worry about aerosols? And you see both. I just finished Dr. Judy Mikovits's books on masks, and she cites both sides. She's like, look, the science is trying to say that the aerosols are a concern, but then you see other published literature that say that aerosols are not a concern. So which is it? So when they first started putting everybody directly on ventilators, which we know, you know, there was a monetary incentive of $39,000, one of the reasons they bypassed doing a CPAP or just an oxygen mask was because they were concerned of aerosolizing this very deadly virus. So again, they were basing on spread of COVID through aerosols. And so aerosols are just the air we breathe. There was a medical doctor who did a video with like a vaping device. And so he put on various masks. He put on, you know, a cloth mask that you can buy. And again, there's no standardization with those cloth masks. They're all very different. And so you put on even a thick one, the vape will go directly out the front. There's no, it's kind of interesting. I mean, and then the surgical mask, the weave is in such a way that, again, physics, it's just going to change the direction. So you have the jet stream of your breath goes up. That's why people's glasses fog up, or it goes out the sides. So again, those aerosols are not going to be completely contained whatsoever. It's not like the mask continues to balloon. Now, there is some retention because there's been multiple unbiased studies that show that I have an pulse oximeter myself, and I've measured people out, cashiers that are willing to check their blood oxygen saturation, and it does drop significantly upon wearing the mask. Because think about this. In the atmosphere, the primary gas in the atmosphere is nitrogen, right? But the atmosphere contains on average about 0.04% carbon dioxide. But when you exhale, your waste product of your breath contains 4% carbon dioxide. That's 100 times greater. So you are displacing the availability of oxygen, right? And you are going to increase the rebreathing of carbon dioxide. You just can't get away. You know, there's no escaping the biological laws of cause and effect. Like, it's just inevitable, no matter what kind of mask you're wearing. So by rebreathing carbon dioxide, you're acidifying your blood. So you're increasing your body's pH to be acidic. So you're actually lowering the pH. And then you're not getting enough oxygen. Your blood oxygen saturation is going to go down. So what environment? I mean, you know about Gerson, you know about all those things. If you have an acidic environment and you have a hypoxic environment, what thrives in that? Cancer. Yeah. So cancer thrives. So cancer, of course, is a devastating diagnosis, something chronic and horrible that nobody wants to have to deal with that. And our immune system can keep it in control if our body's physiology is able to regulate itself. But when you do this intervention, some people have to wear these things all day long. So you're increasing your cancer cell proliferation, you're increasing cancer growth. And for what? To avoid something that we now know is like a 0.1% risk? Like, does that seem like a good trade-off to mask every healthy person when most people will just breeze through this without a problem?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I just find so infuriating, is that they're mandating this all over the country for something that's not even proven to work. And it's a control issue, if you ask me, because it makes no sense that the implement, like when you go to, for instance, I went to Chipotle, and you can't walk through the line to get a food, but you can be a foot away in the eating section eating all day long. It's like, it doesn't make any sense. This one lady pulled me out of line. She panicked. I walked into Chipotle without a mask on. She pulled me aside. She was like, "Hey, I can't have you in here. You gotta leave. I'll take your order outside." I was like, "Just give me a Coke, and then can we just order? Like, as long as I had a Coke in my hand, we could order." It's like,
I know.
It's stupid.
It is not based. This has nothing to do with safety, with health. It's all to do with how much can they get away with, how much control, how much are people willing to submit to. And that's why we really have to stand up to this, because this is, you know, people say, "Are you really willing to die on this hill?" Well, it's the same hill. It's only going to just get steeper and worse. I mean, this, if you can't buy goods and services, like, I got kicked out of a different Sprouts location last night. And so I wasn't able to buy, you know, I wanted to buy some greens. And I wasn't able to buy healthy food because I didn't have something obstructing my breathing over my face. And so, and again, there was like three customers in the store. Social distancing was completely, and I mentioned that to the manager. But she didn't care. And again, they don't want to listen to you. They just are robotically going through the motions of you're not allowed to be in the store. You need to leave. And she called the police. And so I left before they got there.
Well, you are a super troublemaker. I'm actually going to call you back. We have a great bad connection, but just stay on the line with us. And I'm just going to call you right back. Yeah, I mean, none of it makes sense, and it's infuriating to me that they're implementing this. But you know what? It's not the mark of the beast, but it's definitely a step towards that. It shows how they can control you and can implement laws that literally make it so you cannot buy and sell. So, I mean,
right? Yeah, I'm definitely not saying it's the mark of the beast, but it's that hill that we're just escalating towards that.
For sure.
And so if you're willing to die on the hill, then it's the same hill. So we have to, take a stand now, or we are going to be under full-blown tyranny. And the definition of tyranny, people don't realize that these mandates are not laws. And I can't stress that enough. Mandates are not laws. So there's the governor, the mayor, they only have so much authority over their, not even their constituents. Like, they only have so much authority. A mandate cannot compel an individual to do anything. So these mandates are really, it's a strong word, but it's really just guidelines or recommendations. So that's all this mandate is. So you don't have to feel like you're breaking the law. So all those little rule followers out there who think, well, I know it's bad for me. I know they don't work. I know, but I don't want to break the law. But you're not breaking the law, because mandates are not laws, and they haven't made any new laws regarding masks. So here's the thing. So if you have a store policy that is in violation of an existing law, that cannot be. So it's kind of like if you have a store policy that, assault is okay. Like, once you get into that store, but they can't have a store policy. It has to be in the confines of existing state and federal law. Stores are classified as public accommodations. And so a public accommodation, no store, no establishment may deny any individual free and equal access to their facilities and services. That is the law. So once a store has a policy that says, well, you have to wear a mask. Well, no, because that is discriminatory. So either for it violates your religious convictions, which for some people it does. They don't want to block the breath God gave him, that, the life of the flesh is in the blood. It's delivering life-giving oxygen to every cell. That could be something. Or they could say, well, this is the precursor to the mark of the beast. I don't feel comfortable wearing this mask. Whatever their religious belief is, they has to be respected. That's the law. So, or you could take the medical route. And one of my boys looked up the, disability. Disability, the list is so long. It's so many paragraphs. And just impeding oxygen falls under some of the things that are classified as disability. So you can fall under, they can't discriminate against you if you have a disability. So that works as well. So they can't have a store policy that violates existing law. And it says medical advice. This is a medical intervention. It is not benign. There are consequences, and only a medical professional can give you medical advice. And whenever you're given medical advice, you have to also have informed consent. And informed consent can only come from a doctor. So you could say, well, are you the doctor on site giving medical advice? And of course, they're going to say no. And they say, well, this is a medical intervention, and you are not a doctor, so you are not qualified to give me medical advice. So there's so many ways to look at this and to make it illegal. So that's what I pointed out to the manager as she was on the phone with the police. And I said, you have to understand that you're the one breaking the law. Like, what law did I break? You're calling law enforcement, but I didn't break a law. You broke the law. And so, and I, cited several things, but she wouldn't even listen to me. So,
I mean, it adds so much stress to your life. I mean, every time I think about having to go to a store, any store, I'm just stressed out before I even get there. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how am I gonna? I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm just gonna walk in like I own the place. I'm just gonna go straight to the back, like let's do it. Yeah. And I prepare myself and I do it, and it's just stressful. And then most of the time, I've had very good luck. Most of the time, people just leave me alone. But sometimes, though, it's just a fight, and then it's like, then they ask you to leave, they escort you out, and it's just annoying.
No, it absolutely is. But I think some of the stores that were really militant in the beginning, like Walmart, even, I guess, Target, I haven't been to Target, but Walmart, Target, I believe Lowe's, that they've all backed down. And the CDC actually issued something a week or two ago that was... Oh, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay. A week or two ago, that said, do not argue with the anti-maskers. And again, with the name, you know, the negative connotation, calling us anti-maskers, like anti-vaxxers. And, you know, when with anti-vaxxers, most of them are ex-vaxxers. They're not anti-vaxxers. They did it and they saw the results. So they have that updated guidelines from the CDC not to argue with them. Yet Sprouts is the one that will not back down. So I feel like they are the pilot test study. What are people willing to do? And like I've noticed that their stock prices have gone down. They're not busy. Every time I go in there, the one by me doesn't have a door person. So I am able to get in there most of the times successfully. But the door person, it's better to just walk right past the door person and ignore them. So last night I did that. I ignored the door person, but they chased me down. And the thing is, it's rather intimidating being chased by someone with a mask on that's yelling at you. And I also found out that if they block you, if they're willfully blocking someone's ability, their path, that's actually a misdemeanor. So you would have, you know, you'd have to film it. I found that out just recently. And there's a bunch of other things. When they have all these, you know, mazes and things like that, that's actually also considered, it falls under something unlawful imprisonment. It sounds like a very harsh term but it actually, there is law that, you know, again, laws, you start reading them and they go on forever. Yeah. So there actually is criteria that is unlawful and then not letting you, you know, holding you up against your will. So, and then, you know, the intimidation, the harassment, all these kind of things. I think there's going to be a lot more lawsuits.
Yeah. And it got to a point where I just had to just say, we're not going to Sprouts anymore because it just got so ridiculous. That especially the one near me where I used to live was just, they had to have been the worst Sprouts out there. They were so bad, so militant.
No, they all are really becoming that way. The one by me is not, I mean, I have been kicked out of there, but the last three times, they now have self-checkout. So that kind of helps. And I feel like the managers kind of, they don't want to have to deal with it, and they're staying in their office and choosing not to have to, you know, essentially harass people.
No.
So, and if they do physically touch you, like did that person that when you were at Chipotle, did she touch your?
No, she didn't touch me. No. But she was panicking. It was so ridiculous. Like, I don't know if they're panicking because they're honestly scared or if they feel like they're going to get in trouble if they don't get you out of there. Like, I don't.
Yeah, that's a great question. I'm not really sure. I think maybe that I should pose that question to the person the next time something like this happens. Because, you know, if you look at the latest data, there was a lot of hubbub, I guess, about the latest CDC when they went through all of the cases, all the deaths, and only about 9,000 some odd people died only of COVID out of all the deaths. And so, you know, people will try to say, well, you can't, those other people wouldn't have died if they didn't get COVID. Well, another epidemiologist said, well, over half of those people would have died of something this year because they were on their way out. So it could have been anything. And even nursing homes know that a common cold can result in an 8% death rate in a nursing home. You know, so
yeah.
So again, for the average person, you're looking at a less than 1% risk. So, and ultimately, what is between you and this virus, or how your disease would process would progress, is your immune system. And why aren't we talking about how to help your immune system? I mean, we're getting out of vitamin D season, and that's going to, you know, vitamin D regulates over 2,000 processes in your body, a lot to do with your immune system. So yes, that's why cold and flu season comes when it does, when people's vitamin D levels have dropped substantially after the summer's over.
Well, I know that the CDC, and I wish I would have wrote this down before the show, but didn't the CDC mm-hmm. just come out and say that only like 12% of the cases were actual deaths from COVID alone?
That's what I was referring to. I was referring to it numerically with the 9,000, but it's 6%.
6%.
So they said 6% of the, yes. So you were talking about the same thing. Now, the 12% number might be in your head because when they did that in Italy, they came up with 12%.
Mm.
So, but here in the United States, it happened to be 6%. So, I mean, again, 9,000 people. If you go to the FDA website and you look up, you know, why learn about adverse drug reactions? And in a little blue box, it says, because 106,000 Americans die every single year from properly prescribed prescription drugs. And if you really dig into that number, you'll find that that's inpatient. So if you're in the hospital and the nurse says, okay, Mr. Wittenberger, here's your medicine, and it's the right dose at the right time, everything's perfect, and you still die as an adverse reaction to the medication, that's part of that 106,000. And it's actually 198,000 people die every year from outpatient prescriptions.
So
when you add up all the nosocomial infections, all the medical errors, that Western medicine is the leading cause of death in the United States.
Well, I mean,
like iatric.
Yeah, I mean, what we've been saying since the beginning is this is not a deadly virus. I mean, if you look at the flu deaths, I mean, this seems like not even as deadly as the flu. Because
no,
how many?
You're right. And the thing is, when we, again, it goes back to the very beginning, and you know, intelligent, unbiased scientists all looked at the Princess cruise ship, right? And they were like, "Look, there's a perfect model right there. This is not a projection." Like the Imperial College, you did that unbelievably crazy modeling where they didn't even release how they came up with the numbers. And it was just the worst prediction. They were off by orders of magnitude. However, if you looked at in the very beginning, we had that Princess cruise ship. Those people were mostly in the high risk category. And you had about a 1% death rate in the high risk category. So why wouldn't anybody say, wow, there's your model?
Yeah,
that's perfect. And that's what we ended up seeing, because again, once you increase the age group, if you do deaths by age, it does increase your propensity to die from this virus does go up with age.
Yeah.
So that's,
and it affects everyone differently, because I know a good friend of mine, Ray Hesser, Mr. Hesser, he actually got the virus, and his whole family mm-hmm. got it. And his daughter said it didn't feel like anything. It was like nothing, like a cold or something. But but Mr. Hesser actually, you know, it put him down. He was pretty sick. But, you know, I've been sick with the flu pretty bad, and where it puts me down, where I feel like I'm on death's door. I mean, does that mean that we need to just shut down everything and mandate that people wear a mask, that people, like, they can't even come in and check my internet? I mean, it's just, this is all just so ridiculous. And so I wanted to talk about, real quick, about how I've been getting away with kind of following the rules by wearing a mask and not following the rules. So I've had to go on a lot of trips to for the new movie to Portland Texas. We went to Kansas City. We went to a bunch of different states, and what I've been doing, because they make you wear it on the plane, is I've just been wearing the mask up to the bottom of my lip, and it's like a 99% success rate. No one says anything. You don't cover your mask, but I still feel like I'm compromising the whole time I'm wearing it underneath because I'm putting it on. But, you know, I'm doing it to get through. I do. And then, you know, I have wore it a couple times because the interviewers requested that I wear it, and they wouldn't even do the interview if I didn't wear it. So I was like, fine, I'll wear the mask. But it just, you, the whole time you wear the mask, you just feel like just this horrible person that, like, you're being silenced, you're being shut up. Like, this has to be a psychological thing that they're doing on us to make us know who's in charge. Like, I just don't get it.
One of the other reasons that shows it's about compliance, it's not about the science, is the CDC said that face shields, that the jury's still out on face shields, which makes no sense because they keep saying it's those droplets, droplets, droplets. How many times are we going to hear about blocking the droplets? Well, face shields block the droplets because nothing's going to block the aerosols. You can prove that so quickly with all types of masks from, you know, N95s, cloth masks, or surgical masks, the aerosols are still dispersed out into the environment, and it is with a face shield. But the block droplets are blocked. So, but the thing is, if people wore face shields, you could still interact. You could still interact with people. You could smile at them. You could still see facial expressions. It wouldn't be so doomsday. I mean, I don't like to see all these masked people. It gives me a ton of anxiety.
Just it does,
seeing
yeah.
All these people in masks. It's totally. One thing to even have, you know, to think you have to wear it yourself, but just seeing people, it's very depressing. It's very depressing to see that people are just willing to comply. But the thing is, the more of us that set forth an example of peaceful civil disobedience, it does embolden others. You know, courage is contagious. And so I've had, you know, I remember I walked in a Ross with two of my kids, and I said, well, we're not compromising. We're not putting on the mask. We're not going to do the putting on the mask and then taking it off, like you said, or lowering it. That's compromising.
It is. You're
so
right.
They had the security guy at the door, and it's me and two of my kids. And he's like, man, you need to have masks to come in the store. I said, actually, no, we don't. And he said, we have a store policy. So I went through the whole thing. But you can't have a store policy that violates existing state and civil law. And I said, here's the state and civil law that you're violating. So I said, I'm not in the wrong. You are. And then we just walked. So and then the guy
didn't know what to do. He was like, what?
So the guy behind me coming in, he just said what she said, and he took his off and he logged in. So then I had him come up to me and this little old lady come up to me, and she pulled her mask down when she saw I didn't have a mask. And she's like, I know this is not doing anything. I know that this is. And so she's just like, but I'm seeing you, so I'm going to take off mine. So the three of us are all Facebook friends now. And
oh, that's awesome. Really, yeah, I mean, we have to stand up against this. You know, obviously, you got to go about your life in some way. But we need people. Everyone that doesn't wear the mask in the store really does say something. And so I think it's awesome when I see people without masks in stores, but it's very rare. I mean, I'm usually the only one without a mask in a store. But one thing to go along with what you said is at the airport, when I was getting all my luggage, I took off my mask, and then I noticed a few people noticed me, and then they took off their mask as well. While I was waiting for my bag. So it is contagious. Yeah. And so, you know, we just need people. Yeah, go ahead.
I make a point to talk to people that don't have masks. I don't know if you do that too, but I always make a point to talk to the people. And I have met, like I said, I had the two from Ross, and then I had this lady. We were pulling open a cooler like next to each other, and she didn't have a mask on. I'm like, and so I shut the door and I said, oh, it is so good to see someone's face and see a smile. And she was, she said she was 76, And she said, well, that's because this is all BS, she said.
That's awesome.
And then we talked for like 45 minutes, and she was the funniest lady. And she gave me her phone number. She sends me really cool videos and stuff all the time. And she gave me her number. And when I was putting her contact on my phone at the store, I said, what's your last name? She said, just put the Rebel. Which is so cute. And then there was a gentleman walking past us, and he had his mask on under his nose. And she said, oh, look at this guy. He's trying to get some fresh air. And she said, take it all the way off, baby.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's really fun. Like, I've met some of the most really sharp people, like just really fun people that don't wear masks. So,
well, you know, they're cool people because, I mean, anyone that stands up against this is usually a pretty decent person, because, you know, I just don't get why people are just going along with this, because this is so draconian. If you want to wear a mask, wear a mask. I don't care. Like, what does it matter to me? If you want to wear a mask, go ahead. But it's just this making everyone wear a mask that, is so ridiculous. I wanted to change the subject a little bit into social shaming. Can you talk about how they're making everyone, like, not only do they make you wear a mask, but it seems like they're trying to socially shame you into wearing a mask too. What are your thoughts on that?
I have more apprehension about the people, like the customers in stores, than I do about the workers, because I know they'll probably conduct themselves in a professional manner. They're, you know, they want to keep their job, but it's the customers that you have to worry about. You got to, like, have all eyes, you know, looking around, know your surroundings, because they're the ones who can get really belligerent, and they make all kinds of nasty comments. And you're just thinking, oh my goodness, you know, I could say the same about you with your cart full of, you know, ding dongs and ho hos and soda. Like, that has much more of an impact on your immune system than wearing this little piece of cloth in front of your face. So, you know, there's so many ways to look at it. I've seen homework or, you know, schoolwork with kids, young children that are having to do these little, you know, cut and paste books of thumbs up or thumbs down with different scenarios. Like, it shows a little girl that's away from people, you know, obviously like 6 feet away from all her classmates, and she's wearing her mask up over her nose and everything, and it gets a thumbs up, whereas she pastes a thumbs down next to a situation where two kids are hugging. Like, that's no longer okay. And kids, you know, we need each other. We're social beings. We need the interaction. Kids thrive on interaction and close interaction. Kids are always little close talkers, and you know what I mean? They should have that freedom. And now we're just, like you said before, you mentioned the psychological aspect. Like, this is going to have long-term psychological detrimental effects on kids for years to come. I mean, just like we have the deaths of despair that are rising faster than deaths from COVID, and they will continue when people lose their businesses and lose their livelihoods, and, you know, between domestic violence and suicides and all kinds of overdoses on, you know, they're taking antidepressants, all kinds of things. So that's going to have a much larger impact detrimentally to our country. What are we doing to these poor kids that they can't even interact in a normal basis? They can't go on the playground and play tag. They can't be kids.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, this world has really gone crazy. And I just really appreciate people like you that stand up against this draconian measures, because this is not a world I want to live in. And, you know, a lot of people are just throwing up their hands. But if people don't stand up and do something about this, it's just going to get worse. It's just going to be prolonged. You know, obviously this is going to end some point, but all the laws that were implemented during this period will be in place. And more laws are being passed right now than probably in the last 20 years. Laws that are taking away our rights, taking away our freedoms, one bit at a time. And so we need to stand up against these draconian practices, because, you know, they could implement this again on a different scale. and those laws will be ready to go. They'll be not as hard to implement, and people will be more used to it. So we want to get this over. I know you sent over some studies through Messenger. Do you want to talk about that? Which one did you want to start with?
Pull up the commentary first. I kind of underlined it in red. There's a screenshot. It's a commentary on the scientific article. So I have the actual article that I sent you. Now, for example, today last week I notified, you know, the schools that I will not be returning. After happily working as a substitute teacher for 7 years, I'm not going to be going back, because after I did some safety training class, I realized just in that class that I was going to compromise and wear a face shield, because I thought, well, okay, but that's not allowed. And then, so I'm certainly not going to compromise my health to wear a mask all day. And I just feel like, how can you possibly teach and communicate effectively with a muzzle on your face? You can't.
Yeah. And it's a psychological thing where it says, like, don't listen to me. You know, I don't matter. I swear it's going to make kids worse at schools, not better.
Oh, I know. Yeah. And historically, masks have been used as tools for submission, especially with women and children as signs of submission. You know, and they also have a rich history in occultic practices. So I just started skimming some of these articles. I couldn't believe how easily, like if you go on DuckDuckGo and you look up masks, rituals, occults, like you can't believe how many practices that this, you know, so certainly we don't want to be part of this, an occultic practice. And they usually always start with isolation. Because isolation, solitary confinement, is one of the most severe forms of punishment, and it really messes with your head, and that's what they did to us first. You know, they put us under house arrest, they isolated people, and by doing that, then the masks, and that's kind of like how the occult rituals line up. So it's not something that is coincidental, I don't think.
I mean, it definitely blocks your airflow. I mean, people who say that it's no big deal, that it's just, you know, it's normal breathing, just like, no, it's not. Like, when you put it on, it's hard to breathe. It, like, affects how you act. And I know we've showed in previous shows that article where those Chinese boy in the playground, or they're running, and that died. Dude, and that was that was a real article. Was that New York? What was that?
New York Post. Did the article, and it was two children both died in PE, not at the same school, not at the same time, two separate incidences, but they were exerting themselves with masks, and they both dropped dead. And then there was the person who crashed their car wearing an N95 mask, and they crashed their car. And even some of the studies that show with N95s in a medical setting that doctors, after wearing N95s for an extended period of time, couldn't do simple comprehension tests. Like they literally were lacking that much oxygen to their brain, and they experienced headaches, which is a symptom of hypoxia. So, and then there was somebody who collapsed a lung. I think we might have talked about that one. Somebody was running with a mask and their lung collapsed. So again, you can't deny that this isn't impacting people's ability to breathe. And with this study that you're going to pull up, it does, just the highlighted portion talks about how there was what was it? 13 times, I believe.
Yeah, it says UK Medical Journal showed healthcare workers who wore cloth masks all day while working were 13 times more likely to get a respiratory illness when compared to the standard practice of wearing a mask when necessary.
Right. So they compared cloth masks to a surgical mask only as needed throughout the day. So the cloth mask wearers were wearing them all day, which a lot of people that work in retail or what have you, in a restaurant, they're wearing them all day. And the cloth masks, you know, the commentary went on to say, well, it could be because cloth masks are thicker and the material retains moisture. So again, if you've ever worn something over your face, even a scarf, it warms the air and it's going to condensate onto that mask. It gets wet. It gets wet from breathing. So all that, just like on your floor, when you know, you're like, oh, you guys got water all over the floor. Now all the dirt collects on those water droplets. So all the dirt, debris, the viral particles, the bacteria, fungi, everything is going to collect on that wet cloth mask. And then you've got this nice warm space for it to breed and proliferate. And you're breathing that into your lungs. So again, a 13 times higher risk of any type of respiratory infection. It could be a fungal respiratory infection. It could be a bacterial respiratory infection. So they're pushing the cloth mask because the CDC recently said, do not wear the N95s because the N95s have that exit vent. And so it doesn't filter any air. It just completely goes out. So the whole idea of you wear your mask to protect me, I wear mine to protect you, would not hold any water with an N95 because it's not going to block, right? So they said no to those. So they're pushing the cloth mask because there's no standardization. There's no regulation. OSHA can just be like, well, we don't do anything with cloth masks because they're all different. So I feel like they're going to try to plead ignorance. Although look at this randomized clinical trial with, I believe it was 1600 participants in the trial. So it's not a small study at all. And if you look, when I sent you the original article, I just wanted to point out that when people are reading scientific articles, that when they see that RR, it says, you know, for the cloth mask group, the RR was 13. So that RR stands for relative risk. So again, your risk is 13 times greater to get a respiratory infection if you wear a cloth mask all day. And again, 13 times, what is that percentage? That's 1,300%. That is astoundingly huge. And again, what pharmaceutical drug have you ever heard advertised on TV that you'll have a 1,300% less risk of getting heart disease if you take this drug? Give me a break. They're lucky if they can get 13%, not 1,300. So this is definitely, absolutely, without a doubt, not a benign intervention. And nobody, we should all just have a mask burning, you know, just burn them. It's crazy. So, and if everybody did it, what are they going to do? They can't arrest us all. You know, as many criminals as they let out of prison, there's still not enough room for all of us.
No, that's such a great point, because this is all our fault. Because if everyone just stopped wearing masks, there's no way they can implement this. But the problem is absolutely, every time you walk into the store, you're the only one not wearing a mask. So I just encourage everyone that's listening to this stream to stop wearing masks, you know, out to places. When you go, put up a little bit of a fight, just a touch, you know. Don't wear it once every other store or something. And just try to implement in your life where you stop.
Yeah, and if you don't want to avoid, if you want to avoid confrontation at all costs, there are stores that don't give you a hard time. So just shop at those stores. You know, so just find the stores that, you know, so that you're one of those people that are in there that are emboldening others. Again, the courage is contagious. And if our numbers go up, more people will do it. And they see others when they see others doing it. And again, you know, it's so funny because they push these masks so hard. That tells me right away that they don't work.
Yeah.
Because if they did work, they'd be banned like hydroxychloroquine, you know? So, and anybody that there's a lot of confrontation and there's a lot of, you know,
you just made a lot of people upset right there. A lot of people are in the comments right now. That doesn't work.
Okay. But guess what? Did those people that say it doesn't work, did they listen to that 7-hour presentation by a physician that showed that there are actually 5 mechanisms of action for hydroxychloroquine and the coronavirus? There's actually 5, not one. I thought there was only one. I thought it drove zinc into the cells. That's only one mechanism out of 5. It literally is that much of a smart bomb. And I knew right away that chloroquine, there's so many different ones, that I found that article right from the get-go, that chloroquine was a potent inhibitor of SARS coronavirus, the original SARS from 2001. And that told me that was published by the NIH study when Fauci was over there. So I'm like, I can't believe this, that people they knew it worked then for that SARS, and why wouldn't it work now? So, and it actually, yes, five mechanisms. I watched all 7 hours. So I feel very confident with saying, and I would personally never take it because I don't take pharmaceuticals. You know, I personally would never take it because I know that my immune system would be fine on its own. I wouldn't need that boost.
Yeah. Thank you so much for saying this, because a lot of people are haters, but it's like, okay, well, if you're so worried about this, then you can take that. That's an option. What you're saying,
and
right?
You can take it, right. And you can take it prophylactically. And the dose prophylactically is so incredibly low that it's like 225 milligrams.
Okay,
twice
I don't even know what that word means. What does prophylactically mean?
To prevent. And that is why if there is a treatment or a prevention, they cannot get the vaccine to have emergency use authorization with zero liability, covered under the PREP Act, not even the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, not even that liability. Mm. We're talking absolute blanket liability. But the only way they can qualify for that is if there is no treatment and if there's no effective treatment and there's no prevention. And there's both. With hydroxychloroquine does both. So that's why there's the attack on hydroxychloroquine, not because it's dangerous. It's been in use for many decades. It's considered completely safe. Pregnant women can take, there's no contraindications. Like it literally is that safe. Not that I personally would ever take it because I don't do pharmaceuticals. But for other people that are at high risk to take that prophylactically and never allow the viral load in your body to ever give you symptoms, to just keep that viral load in check, I think, why wouldn't you?
Well, I know I want to have a whole show dedicated to vaccines, the coronavirus vaccine, because mm-hmm. I know that they do want to implement this to travel. Like, it might not be mandated for everyone, but if you go to school, they're probably going to implement it that you have to take this vaccine to go to school. And they're probably going to implement it that if you want to go to a different country, you're going to have to take this vaccine. And, you know, for people to not care about this, it just baffles my mind that you're going to have to take this vaccine that has absolutely no clinical trials. Like, it's just being rushed into market. Who knows what kind of health effects this is going to cause. And could you talk about that just a little bit? We want to have a whole show on this, but maybe just a little bit and we'll go back to the mass. Yeah.
They're skipping the long-term, to see the long-term effects. They're skipping that entirely, obviously, because it would take many years to see long-term effects, autoimmune diseases, which we know are caused by many vaccinations. Because again, why wouldn't you look at the one place that permanently alters your immune system and all of a sudden you have an autoimmune disease? Like, that's the most logical explanation. But people will say, oh, we don't know what causes autoimmune diseases. Although where they are truthful is on the vaccine package inserts. They list all those autoimmune diseases, type 1 diabetes, they list rheumatoid arthritis, things like that. They know that vaccines have the potential to cause those disorders in people. And again, our chronic disease has gone through the roof. We have 54% of children have a chronic disease now, whereas before the Vaccine Injury Compensation Program, before we took liability away from vaccine manufacturers and we jumped, you know, what was it? In the 60s, there was just two injectables, one oral polio, and now we have 72 doses that little kids have to get. So we went from 12.8% in 1986 of chronic disease to 54%. I mean, I'm sure all those parents that have kids that could have anaphylactic reactions, that have seizure disorders, that they are on a constant alert, high alert for their children's well-being, would trade a week of chicken pox for a lifelong debilitating disease. And that's a horrible trade-off to avoid a childhood infection that lasts a week, you know, a cough, fever, and a rash like chickenpox, or a battle with COVID. I mean, you know, to get a nasty cold for a week, and then we don't have any idea what the ramifications, the adverse reactions are going to be. So, and again, if you have a 0.1% death rate for most, for like the healthy people, why in the world would you take a vaccine that in the Moderna? And think about that name, Moderna. It's mod your RNA. Like, no thanks. So you have this Moderna vaccine that had their group. It was 15 in the high dose, 15 in the medium dose, 15 in the low dose. And 20% of the high dose needed hospitalization and medical attention. That in these, who do they get for these clinical trials? They get the healthiest people they can possibly find. These aren't people that have comorbidities. These aren't people that have health problems. These are like the healthiest people they can possibly find, and they're still dropping like flies. And 20%. So if you have a 20% severe adverse reaction in just that one test group, why in the world would you say, oh yeah, 20% severe adverse reaction or 0.1%, you know what I mean? Like, come on. No way. I don't see how people can logically process that rationally to take that risk.
And, you know, you being a teacher and all, I'm sure that they are going to mandate you actually get the vaccine to go to work too. So I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm done as of now. I'm done. I told them I'm not returning because I won't wear a mask.
Yeah.
And I would have compromised with the face shield but it wasn't allowed. And I just think that's crazy. And then a teacher actually called me today to ask me to do a long-term job. And I told her, you know, why. And I gave her a lot to think about. And of course, she's like, well, I'm not even allowed to have an opinion or I'll lose my job.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And
well, you
and
know what that I, means, though, I, is she says she pretty much agrees with you. She just can't admit it.
So, she understood, and she said, unfortunately, if you take a special needs position, because they can't enforce the masks on kids with special needs because they can't understand it. So, and I'm so thankful to hear that they're not going to be just constantly putting these masks on these children, that they require the teachers in special needs classrooms that have to wear both a mask and a face shield.
What?
So I was like, no way. You couldn't pay me enough.
Well, I'm sure you watched that the YouTube or the video that was surfacing Facebook of that 2-year-old, that woman that was kicked off the airplane for her 2-year-old that kept taking off the mask. I mean, what a horrible, horrible person that flight attendant was to kick that family off that flight. I mean, everyone on that plane knew that flight attendant had totally overstepped their bounds, but yet it seems like she still got kicked off. She still lost her seat. It's just crazy.
It's crazy. Yeah. And that's like a microcosm. You know, here, the mass in that situation watched this crazy act of overreach transpire, and they were against it. Yet why aren't they against it in general? You know, so here's like a microcosm of this lady's, like, you know, yelling at a 2-year-old, like, you know, what in the world? Like, I don't know if she was yelling at the 2-year-old, but even if she's yelling in front of the 2-year-old at the parents, like, you need to keep this mask. That's crazy to me. And to think that they're putting people on no fly lists that don't comply.
Yes.
Like that.
And it wasn't just that lady and her family that got kicked off. There was this guy that was next to him that was just sticking up for the family. He also got kicked off the flight as well. So, I mean,
really?
But go back to what you're talking about right there, because that is really interesting.
Oh, with the requirements like within the schools and stuff?
No.
Well, here's the thing. I mean,
go ahead.
Wait,
I forget.
I'm sorry, what was I talking about?
I said that and then I forgot because you brought up a great point. And good night, I just stepped all over you right before that. But
essentially that people aren't rising up. They see it on a micro level within an airplane, but yet they're not rising up to see the tyranny in general. And again, They attacked Andy Biggs, Congressman Andy Biggs, the local congressman here, who's been speaking out against the masks for a lot. And he's just, and I read this article on, I think it was AZ Central, that just bashed him. And I thought it was both an ad hominem attack and it was there was zero facts in this article. And here's the thing. By definition, I said it earlier, what tyranny is when a government or individual acts with authority that doesn't they transpose their desires upon a people, but they don't have legal authority to back it. That is essentially, by definition, tyranny. So the article doesn't address that. They make it sound very sarcastic, like, oh, sorry, Biggs, this is not tyranny, you know, when actually, by definition, it is tyranny. And again, they don't ever address the fact that this is not a benign medical intervention. They don't address that all these places of business are trying to practice medicine without a license, which I believe is a felony. Like, you can't practice medicine without a license in any state. Like, that gets people, I think that is a felony. So when you are giving people medical advice, you're practicing medicine without a license, and then you can't get informed consent because that can only come from a medical doctor. So there's so many different ways where the schools, all these places, they're all guilty. Now, my kids will go back, they go 2 days a week or something next week, starting next week. But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if at least the boys would get suspended the first day for not keeping their mask on, because I know, you know, whatever. So we'll see what happens. I understand, you know, the twins are seniors. They want to go back and see their friends. And I just feel like they're cheated on all these different fun events that age group is not at risk whatsoever for this thing. And they should have the ability to interact on it like normal human beings should. We should not be depraved of that.
And I feel horrible for the kids that graduated last year. I mean, none of them got a graduation, or if they did, they couldn't have any family. I know my wife's nieces, they graduated, and they could only bring one person or something, or two people from their family, and it had to be
they have the drive-by.
Yeah.
Like, what? Yeah.
Yeah, it's so stupid. But again, going back to the airplane is, you know, you have to wear a mask, right, to be on the airplane. But then as soon as you get some food, again, you take it off. And it's like, okay, so everyone on that plane, if they had COVID, would have just gave it to everyone. You know, so it makes no sense. I mean, I'm not saying that in their logic.
Yes. But again, if all those people on the plane don't have a fever and don't have symptoms and they're so-called asymptomatic, they have yet to prove an asymptomatic transmission. Remember when the WHO is like, well, I guess it must be very rare, because they contact trace like 400 and some people from an asymptomatic positive person, and not one of them got the coronavirus.
Oh, really?
So we don't even have any proof whatsoever that asymptomatic transmission even exists. So every person that's on that plane, if they're feeling perfectly fine, then even if they were to test positive and were asymptomatic, then the chances of them having a significant enough viral load to actually make an impact on anybody is impossible. Absolutely impossible. So,
This whole topic just bothers me so much. I feel like we need to just keep talking about it, because it's impacting our daily lives, everyone, to an extreme level. Luckily, though, I've noticed here in where I live now that no one cares if you wear a mask. I've been in multiple stores and just no one cares. I don't see anyone. See, this is the thing. I walk through the store and no one, I'm talking with employees, no one's asking me to put on a mask, but yet everyone has a mask on. So it's just people, you just want to shake people and like, come on, just take it off.
No one cares
around here. Why are you wearing it?
Well, you know, with employees, they're in another situation. And I did want to bring up a point for people to go ahead and investigate, because if people are in this boat where they have a loved one in a nursing home. And you know how they have all these new regulations where you can't even go visit, you know, a dying loved one in a nursing home. And that is, to let people die alone is just wicked and cruel. But the thing is, it's actually illegal. So I haven't looked into it. I haven't read all the different, there's so much to read on it. But if you are somebody that's listening or know somebody that is not able to visit their grandparent or loved one in a nursing home, you still can't, because that nursing home already has a policy in place that says that we will not, you know, ever, you know, not allow you to visit your loved one. Like, you already signed off on that. And that is your legal agreement, binding agreement. And so they really can't violate that. Not to mention, we're not in a state of emergency. If anybody who's seen the numbers, either if you want to cite cases or deaths, it's nose bottom to the bottom. So they can't claim a state of emergency to have, you know, a change in policy. And you would have to agree to that change in policy. So I don't know the ins and outs of it. I just touched on it briefly, but I said, well, that is something that people really need to dig into, because it's horrible, because they're going to be neglected. If they don't have an advocate, if they don't have regular visitations, there could be bed sores, all those kind of things, problems that arise. So
All these hospitals are like empty. It's like,
I know. No, it's, I wanted to throw a shout out to Peggy Hall and her website, The Healthy American with Peggy Hall. So she has a Facebook page, website, YouTube channel, and she is just such a wealth of information. She has an incredibly diverse background. You know, she speaks several languages. She knows other cultures. She's lived. She is just a force to reckon with. And she recently interviewed someone who knows the ins and outs of the law. And I listened to it in passing, and I'm going to go back through and take notes. But it is some fantastic information. And it's so, you know, you feel so emboldened. Like, whenever I learn the law and realize the law's on my side, then I just feel like, where can I go? I want to go out and I want to go have these conversations. So the more you know, knowledge is power. And we have to assert ourselves and get rid of this tyrannical, draconian measures, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. And I just showed that website on the screen, thehealthyamerican.org.
Yes.
Make sure you go check out that. It looks like a great site. I love to see people standing up against these practices. But
real quick, just to Peggy Hall, that we were just speaking of, she single-handedly, so never underestimate the power of one person, single-handedly, she lives in Orange County, California, and she had her 1 minute at city council and her 1 minute in front of the Board of Health and different things like that. And then she had a lawyer draw up legal documents to sue for fraud, because she kept pushing the issue. You have to show the science that supports this blanket mandate. You have to show that there is science that backs masking healthy people. And they never provided the science, because again, it's not about science, it's about compliance. So because they didn't provide the science in a time frame which she had given them, they were now guilty of fraud, because there's no basis for the mandate. So she had a lawyer draw up documents for each one of the individuals on the Board of Health in Orange County to be sued for fraud, which is a felony, which would incur prison time, and they retracted the mandate the following day.
Wow, well, so good for her.
And all of Orange County.
Yeah, and California is just out of control right now. California is definitely one of the worst states on all these laws, and just seems like everyone just follows suit with whatever California does. But Lisa, I appreciate you coming on. Is there anything else you want to say real quick? We're going to have a bunch of different shows that talk about these issues, but this is the Health Matters with Lisa Palumbo, and I know Lisa has a million things that she's passionate about. The face mask is just one of them, but it's something that just really matters right now. It's something that's very timely, and we wanted to do a show about this. I wanted to get these shows going. We're going to try to up our game here with more graphics, more stuff, but we're going to have to slowly implement that. I just wanted to get the shows going, get them started, and I really appreciate everyone tuning in to these live streams. And I say that in quote because it's not really live, but hopefully we can get that in live. But I really do appreciate everyone supporting Framing the World. Make sure to head over there and check out the different stuff we have on the website. And make sure you support us on Patreon, guys. If you get a chance, head over to Patreon.com/Framing the World. You can check us out there and support us. $5 a month is makes a huge difference. So I appreciate everyone tuning in to tonight's stream. I mean, there's so many things that are going to my mind that I want to talk about. And I know that I for sure know that Lisa can talk all night. And I'm sorry about this internet connection, but, you know, we're just going to have to roll with it. You're going to be pixelated. It's just I think it's my end. I have to blame me since I'm in the boondocks. But maybe next time we can figure out how we can get a hard line to Lisa. Maybe we can get a webcam set up with her computer, so at least it's not Wi-Fi. But we'll get all the little kinks worked out in the future. But Lisa, again, what are your thoughts about this? What are some of your closing thoughts about why it's important to stand up against this?
Well, first and foremost, liberty is so important, and people have forgotten that people died so that we could be free. And, we are set free from the consequences of sin and the consequences of death by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we can be passed from death into life, and we can know that we have eternal life. But God also wants us to be free. That's all throughout the Bible. And, you think about that verse. I was at a friend's church yesterday. Two of my friends invited me to a Bible study, and a verse that jumped out to me was Hebrews 2:15. So I think I sent that over to you. And it's, I'm paraphrasing, but essentially what it's saying is that because people feared death, that they were willing to be in bondage. And so what are we seeing right now? People are so afraid of the coronavirus, when even though they have like more of a chance of dying of so many other things that they don't think about, like driving their car or whatever. But because of that fear, because the government owned media has propagated this fear onto the American people at such intense propaganda, and silencing all dissenting voices that show that they're lying, people have this ingrained fear that we can no longer at this point even having a rational discussion and showing evidence to the contrary. So fear does not allow your critical thinking to work. And we have to, when we went around the room at the Bible study and they were like, what's something, share something that you want the Lord to do right now. And, mine was, I want the Lord to quench the spirit of fear. Fear is not from God. And I said, I want the Lord to quench the spirit of fear and to press on the hearts of believers the value of liberty. And if people don't realize how many people sacrifice their lives so that we could be free, they're just never going to get it. They're never going to realize how important it is to fight for our rights, fight for our God-given rights. They're trying to pass mandates that are taking away our ability to breathe. It can't get any worse than that. I mean, it can, because, but we're on such a bobsled to full-blown despotic rule that people have to wake up, and I can't. So this is where the place to start, just equip yourself with, Peggy Hall can equip you. You just memorize all these things, and it's not even a lot. You just have to memorize like four key points that stores are public accommodations. Here's the civil law. Here's how you can't have a policy that violates civil law. Very simple things to memorize, and you will feel so empowered. And she even has something new that you can actually print off copies of discrimination violations. So that I'm going to print some of those off. So the next time I get kicked off, I'm be like, oh, I'm going to just going to document. So you are refusing service to me. So you, and again, I just learned this, so I have to be more on the verbiage, but yeah, that's another tool. And it's very empowering because you're going to put them on the, instead of being on the offense, they're going to be on the defense. Like, well, you're citing me for discrimination. Be like, yes, yes, I am. So, well, so yeah, I can't say it enough. I can't say it enough. We gotta fight.
Well, I really appreciate that. And you put it so, so nice. And I thank you for coming on. And you sent me this quote from Patrick Henry. And I wanted to show that real quick. If life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery, forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. And I think that's a great quote. I appreciate you sending it to me, and I think that's a great way to end the show here tonight.
Yes.
Lisa, you're awesome. I love you, love your family. Make sure to tell everyone I said hi. And yeah, guys, this is our first show. We're just getting back going. This is the new set. I have two other sets that we're going to be doing, two other topics with. So we're going to try to do a live stream a day. I don't know if we're going to be able to do it, but I'm going to do it for a while here. And I might pull back a little bit, but I really appreciate Lisa coming on. Maybe I want to be able to get Lisa on at least a couple times a month because she is just so knowledgeable about so many different topics, and I love to hear her talk. She puts everything so eloquently. I definitely cannot speak that way, so I really appreciate her time. Make sure to head to Frame the World. Support us, guys. You can get the new book to the store, Pale Rider, about the Spanish flu of 1918, how it changed the world. It's a good book, and it shows that this is nothing new, but the way they're doing things now is just so draconian. And, you know, that actually killed a lot of people. This thing that we got going on now is not as deadly as people are making out to be. But thank you again.
Yes, have people check. I think there's going to be a protest, like good, peaceful assembly at the state capitol, I believe, on the 11th. I just heard about it today, so I haven't looked it up.
Okay, great.
For that. So definitely do a little research, see if that is going to take place, because I guess there was one yesterday that I found out about today. So
oh, no. Yeah, I know, and people need to go to those things, show, because, you know, the mass of people, all the news media shows up, and if no one's there, then they make it seem like no one cares. But again, this is a way to show the numbers that people are sick of these rules and laws, and it's a way to make your voice heard. Numbers.
Yes, and it's a way to demonstrate what a constitutionally protected, peaceful protest really looks like, because we're seeing a lot of things that should not, that are not constitutionally protected, and we're seeing a lot of, you know, crazy protests. So yeah.
Awesome, Lisa, thank you so much for joining us here today, guys. I love to be able to talk to people and talk to the experts. I really have nothing to bring to you, but, you know, that's why I have people like Lisa on. Because they actually do the research, they study these topics out, and are very knowledgeable on these subjects. So, again, I appreciate Lisa all her time that she has given us tonight. Thank you guys so much for supporting us at Framing the World. I really hope you consider to donate to us through the Patreon account. That is definitely a huge blessing. But I hope you guys have a good night. And remember, don't wear those masks. All right, guys, God bless.